Grace and peace to you from our God and Father, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here. So I went to a liberal arts university. This meant I had to take a lot of classes that weren't in my field of study in order to receive what the school thought of as a well-rounded education. One of those classes I took was a psychology one. To be honest, I don't remember much at all about that class. But I did remember one thing as I read this gospel text today. So here comes your super quick psychology lecture from the person that took one class. In other words, the psychology lecture is brought to you by Google. In 1943, a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow published a paper called A Theory of Human Motivation. In this paper, he presented for the first time what would be called the Maslow hierarchy of needs. This theory identifies that there's a pyramid of needs for the human condition. At the top is this need for self-actualization, to become better, to become the best, to reach your full potential, to be all that you can be, to better yourself. If you go lower on the pyramid, you have the need for esteem, to be accepted, to be liked. Even lower, you have these needs for safety, for love. And at the very bottom, right, that big wedge of a pyramid, you have these physiological needs. Needs like shelter, clothing, water, and food. The whole theory of the pyramid as a hierarchy is that one must first meet the basic needs of the body before ever hoping to reach the higher needs. So this brings us today to this fairly familiar story, the miraculous feeding of 5,000 people. This is a crucial story of the gospel, for it's actually the only miracle story that we find in all four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I find it noteworthy that the only miracle to be repeated all four times has to do with our most basic needs, the need to be fed. But when is something Jesus does ever simply about what it seems to be simply about? Jesus tells all these parables, heals the sick, exorcises demons, performs miracles like this to teach us about something bigger, right? I've been taught for a long time that everything Jesus did was pointing to truths about the kingdom of God, about what God's true goals are for this world that we live in. This thinking is helpful, and I do believe that it's correct, but it often leads us to perhaps over-spiritualize some things that Jesus says. In this story, it's easy to make food a metaphor. The bread represents Jesus, the bread of life, or it could mean that we need to be spiritually fed by God's word or something like that. While I don't think it's wrong to eventually go down those spiritual rabbit holes, and there's good truth to be found down there, we should consider our psychology lesson for the day, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Perhaps before we attempt to meet our spiritual needs, we have to meet our physical ones first. In this story, the story of this miraculous feeding of over 5,000 people, what if the point is the feeding and not some spiritual truth hidden behind it? What if the good news of this story is that God really does care if our basic needs are met? That God cares that hungry people are fed? Earlier this week, I met with other clergy, pastor people from this area. Pastor Matt was there, and we looked at this text, right? And we talked a lot, and our conversation ended up about there. We agreed that it's dangerous when reading this story to move too far away or too quickly away from the food and the feeding itself. God desires God's people to be fed. Simply put, God desires the world to be fed. And therefore, our deeper takeaway about the kingdom of God is that in the kingdom of God, all will be fed. There will be enough for all. That sounds good and all, but what about those who are hungry right now? What's really neat that I find in the whole gospel is that when Jesus starts his ministry, he talks about how the kingdom of God is near. In Jesus, the kingdom of God is breaking into the world now, not just in some future when Jesus comes back. And as the church, we are to be about that kingdom breaking in business. And that's why it's so important that the church feeds those who are unable to feed themselves. That's why our church, the ELCA, invests millions, over $20 million a year, into the ELCA World Hunger Initiative. That's helping feed people in over 60 countries. We don't feed simply because it's a good thing to do. There are many non-church organizations that do that, and that's awesome. No, we as the church, we feed people because God created humanity, and food is a basic need of the human condition. We feed people because, simply put, God cares about the human experience. God cares about us, and that means all of us, our bodies too. God cares about you, and God cares about me, not just spiritually, as in whether we believe Jesus is with us or where we believe our eternal home will someday be, but God cares about the nitty-gritty, bare-bones reality of what it means to be human. In fact, God cares so much that in Jesus, God decided to take on the whole of the human experience to understand what it means to be like us. So God cares about this human experience. That's good news. But it doesn't stop there. Even though if it did, it wouldn't make it any less good news. We belong to a church body that declares God's work, our hands. What God cares about is what we should care about. I'll say that again. What God cares about is what we should care about. My favorite part of this whole story is at the very beginning, before the miracle even happens. In verse 5, Jesus asked one of his disciples, Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Philip completely balks at that question. He basically says, "There's no way, Jesus. It's not possible." The beauty is in the question. Jesus does not ask Philip, "Where will you buy bread?" No, Jesus asks Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people?" This question is an invitation. This whole discipleship thing, this whole following Jesus thing, is about accepting Jesus' invitation to join God in what God is already doing in the world. I wonder a little about what might have been different if Philip had answered that question differently. If Philip had somehow said, "Yes, Lord." We'll never know, but what if God is asking us this question as well? There are hungry people all around the world, in this country, and also here in Lexington. If God is about caring for the whole human experience, then God is about feeding people. What are we as God's church to do about that? Amen.